Hello, everyone. Time for Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We're in the book of Revelation. You can turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter 16. And we will pick up our study today in verse 12. So get your Bible. If you can, open it up to Revelation chapter 16. This Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. And there you will find a lot more of what you're going to get here right now. Nothing has changed in over 30 years, well over 30 years. I've been teaching the Bible. This is what I've been doing, verse by verse, from Genesis through Revelation, one verse at a time. And I saved all my work, so it's all archived for you there. Three complete series going through the Bible that you can study at your pace, at your convenience, using my audio Bible messages at thebibleversebyverse.com. So bring your Bible, that's all you need. And I hope you have your Bible ready right now. We'll pray and get right into the Word. How's that? Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your Word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. We are looking at the final judgments that God will send upon this planet right before Jesus returns. They are called the bowls of judgment, the bowls. There are seven bowls of God's wrath. And with these seven bowls, his wrath will be poured out and completed on the sinful world and sinful, impenitent man. And we have looked at the first five. So there's two left. And we begin in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 16. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon. Remember, that's the devil. And out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So what were these unclean spirits that John described were like frogs? What were they? Well, look at verse 14. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, that go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Three devils working with Satan himself and his cohorts to stir up trouble in the world among sinful men. And I think we learn from this how people will begin to fight with each other when they are not right with God. When people don't get along with God, when their relationship with God is not what it should be, they will not get along with each other either. So I say, the solution to problems between people is for those people to get right with God. Oh, and I know that sinners may get along with each other when it is expedient. I know that sinners who don't care about God at all can get along with each other when they have a common interest or when everything is well. But they will quickly turn against each other and be mean and selfish when everything is not well. Notice verse 14 again. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles that go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And so what we see here is a satanic inspired war. When lust for evil can no longer be satisfied by what one has, they will take what belongs to others and use those things as well. And of course, devils are always willing to give sinners a little nudge or a big nudge, whatever is needed, to create more bad. And that's what's going on here. It's going to get worse and worse as the end draws near. Verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. This is Jesus. He interjects a word of caution and a word of encouragement. In essence, what Jesus is saying to his people. Remember, the book of Revelation was written to Christians. And we see again one of the reasons right here, oft repeated reasons for this book. Jesus says, keep the faith. Don't quit. Stay holy. Don't become lukewarm concerning Jesus Christ. Don't become lukewarm concerning the written word of God, because we don't know the moment when we will be standing before him. No coasting allowed in Christianity. Don't slip into the trap where you think that coasting is okay. There is a damnable, heretical teaching that has been in the church in recent years. And this is not historic Christianity. Historic Christianity has always taught that when one comes to Christ, they receive him as Savior and also make a commitment to submit to his Lordship, whatever that may turn out to be as time goes on. There is a damnable heresy among modern evangelicals that has been here for a while now, which is you can have Jesus as Savior and not have him as Lord, and it creates an indifferent attitude. But I will tell you this, that if Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, is drawing a person to salvation through Jesus Christ, the grace that causes them to believe and receive Christ, the grace of God always calls them to deny ungodliness, which is exactly what the Bible says. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness, not to have an indifferent attitude towards sin. I am telling you, that is a heresy that is damning countless souls to hell. And I will tell you this, one of the fruits of that heresy is coasting, spiritual coasting. But you know what that leads to? Spiritual coolness, which leads to spiritual coldness, which leads to loss of holiness, and eventually, loss of faith. So stay on top of things. That's what Jesus is saying here. He said, stay on top of things. Look at 15 again. Behold, I come as a thief. You don't know when I'm coming. Blessed is that man that watches. What does that mean? Stays on top of things spiritually. You watch and keeps his garments. That means keeping yourself from sin. Lest he walk naked and they see his shame. 16, and he gathered them together into a place. He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. This satanically inspired war is what has been known as the Battle of Armageddon. Armageddon will be the last world war. There is at least one world war coming. It is the Battle of Armageddon. It will be the final battle between good and evil. And it will take place on the very day that Jesus Christ returns to earth. It's not going to be a multiple year war like World War I or World War II. And the Spanish flu stopped World War I. World War II stopped when we defeated the Japanese and defeated Hitler. Well, the thing that's going to put an end to this war is the return of Jesus Christ. It's not going to last long. But when he returns, it's going to be all over. As long as there are bad people, good people will have to fight. That's the way it was with the good angels. There were bad angels. The good angels had to fight. As long as there are bad people, good people will have to fight. It's good to work for peace. But lasting peace will not happen until Jesus returns. People say, well, you're too pessimistic, Murat. No, I'm a realist. People can't get along within families. People cannot get along with neighbors. Neighbors fight. Family members fight. How friendly are people when they get cut off in traffic? Sinful human beings cause strife. War is that strife, same old strife, on a bigger scale. That's all it is. I'll never forget, you know, John Lennon with his famous songs, Give Peace a Chance. Sounded so good. Just give peace a chance. Imagine a world where there is no war. I mean, he sang all these wonderful songs. And then I'll never forget seeing a documentary, a clip of one. He was in the recording studio with the other Beatles, and he was dropping F-bombs left and right. And he was screaming at the other people in that recording studio because they weren't doing something just right. What happened to give peace a chance, you hypocrite? How do you expect people on the national level to get along if you can't get along with somebody in the recording studio? So quit talking so arrogantly about how rotten the world is because there's war. Somebody should have shoved the microphone down his throat and put him in a closet and said, sit in there and think about giving peace a chance, John. What a hypocrite. There's not going to be peace among nations till Jesus returns and gets rid of all the bad people, gets rid of all sinners, and redeems this world and removes sin. Then it's going to be great. But sin is the thing that causes trouble between people. And on the national level, it's the same old trouble. Caused by the same things. Greed, selfishness. You have not because you ask not. God says wars come because you covet what somebody else has. And that's it. Verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. What is done? Life as we know it. Life as it has been for sinful man, come this point, is all finished. God here is about to drive the final nail in this sinful world's coffin. Look at verse 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since man were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. That's about 100 pounds. God is smashing this sinful world to pieces. Whatever was left after the previous six bowls has just been pulverized by these 100-pound hailstones. Everything that mankind has put before God, all of the idols, all of the entertainment, all of the wealth, all of the materialism, all of the money, Wall Street, businesses, cars, boats, you name it, everything that man has put before God lies in ruins. Everything that man has put their hope in is destroyed. There is no future. There is no hope. There is no happiness. Not for those who reject the Savior. You see the end of it right here. Notice 21 again. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague was exceedingly great. Isn't that mind-boggling to you? They blame God for these 100-pound hailstones. They blame God for the earthquake that hit every city and every island and flattened every mountain. They blame God for the previous six plagues. They blame God for their suffering. They blame God for their punishment. But they are the ones who are to blame, not God. For thousands of years, God has warned about Judgment Day. For thousands of years, since the time of Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam, who we know, at least as far as we know, was the first one to prophesy about the coming of Christ and his judgment. So for literally thousands of years, as it stands today, 7,000 years, 6,000, over 6,000 years, God has warned about Judgment Day. God has told people to repent or they would not stand in the judgment. Since the very beginning, God has warned that he would punish those who refuse to repent. And for thousands upon thousands of years, people have scoffed at God. They have scoffed at his word. They have scoffed at his warning. They have laughed at him. They have scoffed at the idea that there would be such a thing as God's wrath, or even that God existed. Scoffed at it all. Ridiculed, mocked it all, beat up, killed preachers who preach the truth of God's word. But there will be no laughter on this day. No more scoffing. Those who reject God and his son will experience the loss of everything that they count as good, and they will enter into an eternity of complete and total bad that will never end. It's all over. Chapter 17. And there came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great harlot that sitteth upon many waters. In Scripture, the true church, made up of all genuine Christians, every single person who has repented of their sin and received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, whether Baptist or Presbyterian, or whether they go to any church at all, it doesn't matter. Every single human being who has repented of their sins and submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and made a commitment to follow Him is a part of our Lord's church. They are genuine Christians. And the true church of Christ, consisting of these people, in Scripture is called the bride of Christ. The harlot here then represents false religion. If true Christians are called the bride of Christ, well, what's the opposite of a bride? A harlot is the great opposite of a bride, a harlot. And they are false religion. That's what it means. That's what it refers to. False religion, regardless of its form. Let me be clear. When I say false religion, regardless of its form, I am talking about any religion that is contrary, any religion other than what I just described is real Christianity and real Christians. Anything other than that, I'm not talking denomination. I'm talking any system of belief that is different from repentance and receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and submitting to His Lordship and trusting in His finished work on the cross. Anything other than that is a false religion. Hinduism is a false religion. Judaism rejects Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is a false religion. I don't care if they had the true God in the Old Testament or not. They rejected His Son. And Jesus said, if you have not the Son, you have not the Father. False religion. Judaism is a false religion. Hinduism is a false religion. Islam is a false religion. Every person who follows Allah is going to hell. Every person who rejects this, every Jewish person who rejects Jesus Christ is going to hell. Everybody who practices Hinduism is going to hell. Everybody who worships a volcano on a Pacific island is going to hell. Every atheist is going to hell. Everybody who's into the New Age movement is going to hell. Everybody who finds their eternal itch in science fiction or UFOs and the little grays, they think that they're coming back to save us, is going to hell. Why? Because you hate these religions? No. That what they believe, the form that it takes, and their particular religious favorite has nothing to do with anything. The issue is they have not repented of their sins and believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the eternal and only Savior, and received Him as their Savior and submitted to His Lordship. That's the only issue, okay? That's the only issue. It's not about what religion they follow. It's about them not following Jesus. That's what damns their soul to hell. So I say again, I want to be perfectly clear. Any religion other than repenting and receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and submitting to His Lordship is a false religion. I don't care what the label is. It is a part of this system that is called the harlot. And false religion, according to verse 1, regardless of its form, will come to a screeching halt in the final days and certainly come to a big bang end when Jesus returns. And notice 1 and 2 together. And there came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great harlot. The judgment of all false religion, all lies, all untruths, that sitteth upon many waters. And may I throw into that mix Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. May I throw into that mix Moonies, if they're still around. I don't even know if they're still around. But any cult, it doesn't matter. They're all a part of the harlotry that Jesus speaks of here. And I will show thee the judgment of the great harlot that sitteth upon many waters. This worldwide false religion whatever form it may take. And notice what verse 2 says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. False religion is a spiritual counterfeit. And again, it doesn't matter what the label might be. They're all the same in essence. They're all of the devil. I'm not saying all the people are following the devil knowingly. A lot of them are sincere. And they think they're following God. But I'm telling you, they're not. No. Let me back up. I'm not telling you that they're not. Jesus says. He said, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. If you have the Son, you have the Father. False religion is a spiritual counterfeit. It looks good on the outside. It often looks really good on the outside. But since its teachings conflict with the Word of God, it does spiritual harm, not spiritual good. Any religious teaching that is contrary to Scripture will lead its followers away from God, no matter how pretty it may look outwardly. Verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. You know, you can decorate false teaching. You can decorate unbiblical teaching and false religion with all sorts of pomp and ceremony and incense and religious veneer. Boy, you can make it look good. But it is still moral and spiritual rot to Almighty God. It means nothing. So look at how this harlot is described. Verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and bedecked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Notice, very wealthy, outwardly successful, lots of followers, very popular. And every one of these things and every one of these people, filthy in the eyes of God and on the road to hell. On the road to damnation. When a religion is wrong because its teachings contradict the Bible, it will produce spiritual corruption and eternal damnation, no matter how good it might look on the surface, no matter how religious and holy it might look on the surface. It's just a thin veneer covering the rot of a hellish lie. And Jesus hit the nail right on the head when he called religions like that whitewashed tombs. Whitewashed tombs. Full of dead men's bones. Full of rotten decay. Pious on the outside, but inside full of spiritual rot and corruption. And many people are swayed by a fancy religious appearance and do not consider whether what is taught is in line with the written word of God. And that's the determining factor. That's why I teach the word of God, the whole counsel of God, from Genesis to Revelation. And that's why I've been doing it for over 30 years. I'm going to do it till the day that I die, God willing. And that's why I have archived it all for you at the BibleVerseByVerse.com, because I want you to do it. Because I care about you, yes. But I care about Jesus. And I'm being obedient to him. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and teach them everything that I have said to you. The whole counsel of God is yours to study, verse by verse, from Genesis through Revelation at the Scripture Verse by Verse website. So go there today and begin a verse-by-verse study with me. And please remember, I'm not underwritten by a large church or denomination. I never have been. For over 30 years, I've just taught the Word of God, see? It's been a faith ministry. I teach the Word of God, and I trust that God will move people like you who love His Word to pray for me, to pray for the Word of God, to be a part of this ministry by clicking the donate button at the top of the front page and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. That's at thebibleversebyverse.com.